And assuming that the massage thing goes through, we'll do the same thing.
Of course, Mr. Chair. You're just trying to make me lose the rest of my hair.
Nah.
So Rosa, all the ones that are highlighted are barber's ones that are going to be now consistent with what the cosmetology rules are. Now, on some of them, they do have the totals. And on other ones, they don't. So the fines. There, I just see the fines on the bottom and the back here.
The header in between.
Yeah, there's like the recommendation for a non-disciplinary return. And then there's the civil penalty, which is like $50, $150, $250.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Deputy Director Shepherd, Rosa, I apologize if I missed it, if you already said that. But I think we said for those licensees who were licensed but working in an unlicensed establishment, we've changed it to a letter of concerns versus a fine. And I believe the, for those who are unlicensed, we changed from.
So if we find a licensee that is operating and performing services in an unlicensed establishment, currently we have that's the $500 civil penalty. I got that down to $250. And then for the licensee who is found performing services in an unlicensed establishment, which is just an employee, we had a $50 civil penalty and that would move to a non-disciplinary violation.
We felt like that the change from the 500 to the 250 seemed to be more agreeable to what we've seen the board do in practice.
Yeah, it sounds awkward. I mean, it's like you're holding the employee responsible for the actions of the employer, and it's difficult.
Yeah.
The responsibility to check, but we can't administer business.
That one got moved to a letter.
And then the one to 250 was operating without a license? Operating without an establishment license?
Yes, it's a licensee who is operating a business.
Yeah.
Again, whatever the board applies in terms of penalties that you would like to impose is obviously up to the board and your discussion and your discretion. Recommendations based upon the behavior of the board that we've seen.
Right. From the other board questions, any of these?
Are you looking for our approval and acceptance of this?
And I believe to Assistant Attorney General comment, you can always change on a particular case. You can make that whatever. This is a guideline.
This is not parameters. Like when we get to the next section in the agenda, right? Like the recommended dismissal might expand because we might have recommended dismissals based on that of cases that we've taken, right? Like so, Laura Windsor, section. The informal interview. When you get to that informal interview stage, right? Like we offer that agreement, like in the case of the $250 civil penalty, right? We would offer that to them. The board would be offering that to them on the consent agenda section D. They may not agree to it and they would come before you and present evidence. And that's when you might make an adjustment up or down at your discretion. But I think ultimately we're trying to get to a little more consistency in the issuance of those civil penalties at whatever the board believes is the right number. But we're really hoping to get to some consistency.
And in any individual case, even as we presented the first time, any board member could recommend a change.
Correct.
And this is what our investigators use.
Yeah.
When they put the recommendation in the inspection summaries, it's based upon the board's parameters.
Yes.
All right, so you're looking for a motion on this to accept it?
Mr. Galvin, she was whispering to me just a moment about where there might be a particular way we might want to adopt this. So I'm going to turn it over to her to see if there's a recommendation, or I think historically, and I think Jerry, the longest standing member at the table today, I think the board simply adopted the board parameters in the past, and that's what marching orders were. But I don't know if you have a different idea that might make it.
I think that is one way you can do it. Some boards have adopted this as a substantive policy statement that published, it's put in the administrative register. It notifies the public that this is a guidance document. It doesn't have the enforcement authority of a rule, but this is something that the board would be looking at. That's one of your options. I would recommend that if you do approve this and you don't want to go the substantive policy statement routes, you would put it on your website. So it is out there, and individuals who are interested could easily find it to see what the board is using in adjudicating.
Well, I'd say we should be public with this, because it's right to know how we're going to deal with different problems.
Great.
Do it again in the motion, is there a path?
I would suggest that there be a motion to approve the revised board parameters and direct staff to post it on the website in a conspicuous manner.
Right, I'll do that. All right, let me make the motion that these new parameters be accepted that if they're presented. Also include that motion that it be put forth as a substantive statement and also posted on the website.
So the substantive policy statement is a little bit more of a formal action. And I would want the board to review that once it is in that form that is required under statute. I think of the fact that you have adopted this just kind of in the straight policy as a guideline in the past is sufficient. I don't think it's required that you do a substantive policy statement. But just adopting it today, a revised and then instruction applicable on the website would be.
Isn't it a substantive statement that is that a public posting of our position? Is that basically what it is?
It's a little bit different. It's a statutory option for agencies to post a public statement. It doesn't go through rulemaking process, but it informs the public how the board is going to interpret statutes or rules or implement a particular policy.
Right.
So while this may fit under a substantive policy statement, I don't think you're required to post it as a substantive statement. I think putting it on your website in a conspicuous manner would be sufficient to, you know, alert the stakeholders what you are considering.
Right. Well, apparently, because it's complicated, then I withdraw the substantive statement portion. So let's just make a motion that we accept it and we post it on our website.
Okay. I was going to make the recommendation, if we want to have the conversation about making this a substantive policy statement in future, because we already know 4, 5, 6 months from now, it's going to change because of the statutory changes. Maybe that would be a time that we can have that discussion and get a little deeper in it. But we would be happy, you know, given the board's approval this morning, we would happily place it on the webpage. Not a problem at all.
That was a motion. Anyone like it?
Second that, Brandon McFadden.
Yeah, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any of those?
No.
Goodman. All right, so we have a majority approval. I'd be interested to know what was not interesting to you, if it's a possibility.
Well, you didn't call for a discussion, so we kind of missed that part, but we can discuss it now if you'd like. I'm not a fan of the idea of boards hemming themselves in and limiting themselves beyond rule and statute. And so overall, the direction of doing this type of thing is different than I think the powers of the board. And very quickly, these become rubric that get used by boards of per our rubric, per our prior. And I believe every case should be weighed properly based on the merit of itself, not based on, oh, okay, we're okay now to do it that way.
Okay, great. Appreciate your input.
All right, good.
So we're through that. And we're up to the consent agenda.
Review of step one. Step one A, recommended application denial. I have two. The first one is case number 2024-00200. Seeking ban reciprocity aesthetic applicant to deny a grant licensure upon acceptance of consent agreement to the civil penalty of $250 for voting prior to obtaining a license. So the applicants are on August 23rd, 2023, the board investigator conducted a routine inspection at 95 Deluxe Nelson Spa in Fort Mojave, Arizona, and found the applicant Thing Fee Fan Performance Services on a client California active license. On September 18th, the board office received the reciprocity application. Part of the requirement is that the applicant read the Arizona statutory rules. According to the Arizona Administrative Code Rule Board -10106, an individual should not practice aesthetics until the individual receives a post and posted the license of place of employment. When she submitted the application, it was incomplete. It was missing a certification of licensure from the state of California and a government photo ID. On October 3rd, 2023, the California State Board of Barbering and Cosmetology, she issued a certification of licensure. However, we did not receive it till December 25th of 2022. And the missing photo identification was also received that same day.
Okay. Do we have any board discussion? Case. No discussion. Do we have a motion?
I move that we adopt our financial status and condition reports.
I think no. I think it's consent, and it's just whether
accept or deny that's
recommendations, which are in both.
Yeah, yes. I move to offer a consent agreement for a penalty of $250.
Yes.
And if they don't accept it, deny the application.
Yeah, it's fine. Within 30 days, move to formal hearings.
No, just denied. Yeah. Just, it would just be denied.
Denied.
You're good. All right. Do we have a motion? Have a second. Second that, Brenda. All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. We'll issue this as it was recommended by staff.
Number two, case number 2024-233, Gabriella V. Nelson, license number 12400220. She submitted an application for cosmetology, denied a grant licensure upon acceptance of consent agreement to a physical penalty of $250 for working prior to obtaining a license. So on this applicant, on April 24th, 2023, the applicant submitted a reciprocity application. And as part of the requirements of the application, she should meet the Arizona statute and rules. According to the Arizona Administrative Code, R4-10106, an individual shall not practice cosmetology until the individual receives and puts the license at place of employment. Her application was received, however, it was incomplete. She was missing a certification of licensure from the state of Washington and her government photo ID. On April 27th and July 27th of last year, the licensed specialist emailed the applicant on both dates requesting the missing information, and we did not receive any response from the applicant. On October 25th, the board investigator conducted an inspection at Viola Rosa, located in Scottsdale, Arizona, and found the applicant performing services in the establishment, and she was not licensed. So on February 14th, she contacted the office and requested information of why she had not received her license, and we informed her that we had not received the certification from Washington for the document for government photo ID. So she provided an email that she received back in August of 2023 that the state of Washington had sent a certification of license to us. However, it was to the wrong license. It was to the wrong email address. It had a different domain. So what Ms. Deputy Director Shelley Shepherd, she went ahead and, because we received the information that same day, she went ahead and issued the license and approved the application.
All right, so this case is before us in retro, in a sense, because it's already taken care of.
Was found performing.
So the question is, do we charge her $250 for the fact that all this happened during a time period?
Yes.
And in part of this time period, I thought it was taken care of because she had informed that by Washington, but.
Well, she never received a license, well, I don't know.
Right, yeah.
She just contacted the agency because the establishment was had a case brought up in front of the board.
Right.
So that's how she found out that she needed to take care of it.
Chair Bagley and members of the board, Deputy Director Shepherd, I apologize and take ownership that I asked them to issue the license as I was not aware at the time that this was coming before the board, so I kind of preempted you, and I do apologize for that. I take ownership for that. It won't happen again.
All right, so we have any questions from the board about this thing?
So she has a license now, but she was working beforehand.
And this was over quite an extended time ago.
Yeah, she submitted the application in April of 2023. So she never made contact with the agency at all until, you know, in October, the investigator went out and conducted an inspection at the establishment, and she was there performing services. According to the inspection, it looks like she was trying to use a different pathology license from a different individual. But then when the investigator checked the licenses, he realized that it wasn't her. So then the applicant did admit that, you know, she had submitted the application, but, you know, she hadn't, that's all she did. And then once we made contact with the establishment regarding their case, and because the violation was for the establishment allowing a person to be performing services there with us on license, that's how she contacted, that's what she contacted us and asked, you know, where's my application? What's happening with that? Yes.
Yeah, so this is Goodman. How often did that happen where one potential licensee pretends to practice or, you know, presents and practices under someone else's license? Is that a pretty common occurrence? Because that seems like intent to deceive and fraud and other things.
I think one of our investigators might answer the question. Hi.
That's a good one.
This time I had already checked all of the stations and made sure of who was licensed and who wasn't. When I went to her station, there was like a pause that was talking to the owner asking, hey, who is this person doing services? I don't have an identification, I don't have anything on her. And so when I went to her station, she had took one of the other licensees' license and try to pass it off as her own that I've already checked. And typically they don't try to pass off. This is like an isolated incident.
Yeah. Because Goodman, this seems much bigger than somebody who didn't get a license who then got, now has a license. So we can't undo that. And
actually you can.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there you go. We could undo it. It seems much bigger than somebody practiced without a license. This is somebody who lied to an investigator and then got caught and, oh, well, now let me resolve it. This, I think there's more accountability to be had here than simply saying, oh, too bad that your paperwork didn't work out months ago. We're good now.
I agree with Nick. I don't know what our repercussions are in terms of that, but I was willing to give it a mulligan until I heard about the deceit. And so that gives me pause.
I mean, can we escalate it to have this person in for an interview and discuss with them? I mean, it seems like we don't want our whole lives to be defined by a momentary lapse in judgment. And at this point, you know, my sense is that this individual should have a license because it's definitely unprofessional to do this, but maybe an explanation will help us understand how she reacted at the time and
or maybe we just offer the consent agreement, and if she decides to not pay it, then comes in from that.
Yeah, I'm just worried about her having a license at all if she's willing to steal her neighbors.
I would offer that the $250 is a given, and that we would double it, and that she can come in and try to argue it back to $250.
Is there a way to communicate, other than her being aware of this meeting today, is there a way to communicate that, hey, we're seeing this as a much bigger issue, that's why it's doubled? I mean, or did she just see a $5 fine at that point?
The terms of the consent agreement would outline the findings to include the attempt to deceive during the inspection and corresponding violations of law. And that could justify an increase in the consent agreement.
Yeah, that would help. I think it would, because we do need to definitely establish that's not how we're going to have our inspectors. Oh, wait, didn't I just see this name a few minutes ago? Like, boy, that's got to be a tense situation or potentially.
Yeah. Well, it's clear she was operating without a license under her knowledge.
Yeah, and she knew she would. Yeah, she knew her name wasn't Jennifer Smith, and she said it was. Yeah, whatever name.
Right. Well, shall we change this?
I move to offer a consent agreement for the $500 double penalty unless not signed within 30 days.
Deny.
Go for it. Go to a hearing.
Or like go.
We're here, we're denying.
You've already granted the license.
Okay.
So you could move it then to formal hearing if she failed to sign. I don't feel like this is a case where you could pull back the license if she otherwise qualifies. It wasn't issued in error because she didn't qualify. There was potential unprofessional conduct. I would rather just put a license than can call the law back.
So she paid $500 and signed. If not, then she would have to go to the
formal hearing. Then we do the formal hearing. All right. The motion cleared up. Do I have a second?
Second that, Brandon McFadden.
Okay, we have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, we have one opposition, but majority says we raise the fine and give it the formal hearing options. Okay.
Step 1B, recommendation for dismissal. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, all cases listed under step 1B recommended for dismissal have been reviewed according to sports parameters, and we would ask the board to consider that recommendation and seek other non-disciplinary action.
Any board discussion of any cases in section B? Right. Hearing no discussion, do we have the motion?
Ms. Longlever moved that we accept staff recommendations of your step 1B for recommended approval.
And second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
I know you strike your so then unanimously we approve it. That shift. So B, please.
Step 1B, recommendation for non-disciplinary letters of concern. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under step 1C recommended for non-disciplinary letters of concern have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Any discussion from the board?
I should have cited this before, but I should recuse myself from number 5 on this. This is good enough. As well as others that have the same ownership, which would include number 9. Yeah, 5 and 9, I either choose. So I'll just, if not vote on them.
Do you have an actual conflict of interest or just?
I have a conflict of interest, yeah.
Okay, so let's have you recuse and actually go sit in the audience for this.
All right, yeah, I can sit back or however, yeah.
The policy would ask that the board member so sit in the audience for this one.
Yeah, no.
And then we'll have another form for you to fill out, Nick.
Yeah, no worries. All right. Any other board discussion? All right, wait, a motion?
There's one other move that we accept staff recommendation with the step one fee for recommended non-disciplinary reserve transfer.
And second?
Motion is second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that passes unanimously.
And the record should reflect that Nick Goodman recused himself from this vote.
Yeah. Good job. All right, D?
That's one, D, recommended informal interview with negotiation terms. So Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases with given with step one D recommended for informal interview with negotiation terms have been reviewed according to source parameters. And we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations for take other non-disciplinary action.
Any discussion on any of these cases from the board? Questions about these things? Number two is not a similar situation for you?
No.
Different ownership.
Different.
All right, so the motion regarding this group?
It's one of our moves that we accept staff recommendations under step one D's or recommended informal interview or negotiation terms.
And second?
Motion is second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, we unanimously accept that recommendation on all of these cases. All right, let's move to section eight. You're going to talk about executive session, being a candidate, if we need legal advice or personnel information from our attorney general, we might do that. Section A, rest of thoughts, the Barber application. Those of you who present that, please.
Ms. Bosheesh, the former board is presenting that.
All right.
All right, I'm Greg, we have the board. My name is Bosheesh Kolbin, and I'll be presenting a Barber Universal application that's from Mr. Pera. Mr. Pera has provided all requested documents for his universal application. That includes the agreement with the hours boards, his translated documentation, as well as the school supporting documents. So today I do ask if we're going to approve or deny my insurance. If you have any questions about any of the documentation that's presented, I'll be happy to answer.
Thank you. Do you review this into your professional ability if you decided this is acceptable? Do we have any question for this comment? Do we have a motion regarding this?
I move that we grant licensure to the applicant, Maganga Capera, for rental property.
And second?
Motion is second, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Unanimously, we agree, and you should go to work. Discussion, review discussion, possible action, there's been the motion to informal interview with negotiation options. But can you explain that case to us, please?
Yes. So on April 21st, 2023, during the board meeting, the respondent of case number 97971, Luxby Salon, Brooks Beverly Hogan owner did not attend the informal interview. So the board moved the case to a formal hearing unless the respondent accepted the previously offered consent agreement to pay a civil penalty of $250. I sent multiple correspondence to the last known address on file, and all the correspondence was returned back to the post from the post office with a yellow sticker indicating that it was undeliverable. And on September 25th, 2023, the office received a letter from Ms. Hogan informing the agency that she had changed residency. She also stated that at the time of the inspection, she was no longer the owner of the establishment. She provided a bill of sale indicating that she had sold the business on October of 2022. However, she did not notify the board of the ownership change. or requested for the license to be closed into system. So the inspection was conducted in December 9 of 2021. The investigators conducted the routine inspection and the establishment license posted was the one that was assigned to McCollum, SDOS 30254, and it was active at that time. So the establishment received an unsatisfactory grade, and the case was generated against the license. I would like to ask the board to rescind the previous motion and dismiss the case since the respondent is no longer the owner of the establishment, and she does not have a license with the agency.
Good chief.
The establishment is already, the license is closed.
Any questions? Board? All right, any motions?
I move that we accept staff recommendation to rescind the motion to informal interview with negotiation option under case 97971 and accept the staff recommendation.
I second.
Motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. James, you there?
Sorry, I thought I said aye. Might have misfired the unmute button.
Okay, so that's a yes?
Yep.
Thank you, sir. And that would be unanimous, but we'd agree to accept staff recommendations.
Thank you.
All right, in nine. Jane.
Mr. Chair, would we be able to do a bio break?
Bio break. I think that's next.
Before we get into the.
Yeah, it's now 10:26. Let's reconvene at 25 till.
10:35.
10:35. All right.
Thank you. Don't make us do math on a Friday morning, Jerry.
Excuse me, is our call still going?
Yes, we're currently in recess.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I missed that part. Thank you.
All right, Chase, are you there? It's okay, because we actually have.
You're still in there?
Yeah.
All right. All right, and I just, that's what I was saying.
Terrible. Yeah, it's gonna be worse. The chairs. Heather's coming with WD-40 next month.
And then I'll pack them out like this for once.
All right, welcome back to the discussion. We're gonna start in section nine. Nine is the informal interview, so we're going to begin with our opening scripts, and then we'll work our way through A and B. It is now 10:37 on March the 5th, 2024. That on the script. This is the time and place scheduled for the board to review okay to schedule for an informal interview. It's due into ARS 32573. My name is Board Chairman Begley. The other board members will now introduce themselves and indicate whether they are a public or a professional member. Can we start with Nikki Lewis? This is Nick Goodman, and I am a public member.
Trista Guzman Glover, public member.
Brandon McFadden, professional.
Chase Wilkinson, professional.
And Chase, could you please?
Chase Turrentine, public member.
Thank you, sir. Also present at the board's executive director, Frank Legale, and the board's attorney, Jeannie Galvin, from the Attorney General's office. When your case is called, unmute your phone by pressing star six. If you're not in front of us, don't do that if you're in front of us. Please be aware that we have read all the material submitted in order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board. We ask those speaking not to take time repeating information the board's already received. You and your legal counsel, if applicable, collectively will be given time to address the board equal to the time it took to present the investigative report, or 5 minutes, whichever is greater. The board has a stability policy, and we request that all participants conduct themselves in a professional manner. Once the board concludes its discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberations. While the parties are free to stay and listen to deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact we are now discussing the case amongst ourselves and request you observe that process. Now we need to swear in the staff. This time, I swear in our staff members who will be testifying today. Will the following compliance team members please stand and raise your right hand? Rosa Rodriguez, Ellen Bordelon, Lisa Chavez, Keegan McConnell, Alexander Hill, and Kathy Bergeron. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll be about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do, Rosa Rodriguez.
I do, Alexander Hill.
I do, Lisa Chavez.
I do, Ellen Bordelon.
I do, Keegan McConnell.
I do, Kathy Bergeron.
Thank you all.
Before we begin, I want to advise everyone this proceeding is being recorded. Accordingly, it's important that everyone speaks loudly and clearly, and then only one person speaks at a time. To ensure we have an accurate record, please say your name each time before speaking. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case and to decide the outcome. The licensees have received notice informing them of the matter to be discussed today, the process for the informal interview, and the possible actions the board may take. Let's begin with our first case, case number 98298 in section A, Turning Point Community College, SPSL 00198, 5 Second Enterprise Incorporated owner, new Vu member, Tyson Pham member, and Kim Hong Tran member. If you're present, please come up to this table. We get him another chair. Or... No, we'll listen to the chair. Right, and before we begin, I need to swear you in also. So do you swear or affirm the testimony you would give today will be the truth, the whole truth?
I do.
And stand and hold your hand and state your name.
Curtis Elder.
I do.
Charlie Beckman. I do.
Thank you. Now, first, our investigator is going to discuss this case with us, and we'll ask the questions that will come out.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Bagley and the members of the board. My name is Keegan McConnell. On June 22nd, 2023, I tried conducting an investigation at Turner Point Beauty College, located at 5127 West Indian School Road, Suite 125, Phoenix, Arizona. At the time of my arrival, I tried entering the school, but no, it's the library dam. I then broke back my car to wait a couple minutes in case someone came out or in. As I waited, a lady walked out of her car and entered the building using a set of keys and locked the front door back. As she went into the dim building, I tried to enter the building and knocked off because the doors were full of glass doors, but again, nobody noticed me or heard me knocking them to let me in. On June 23rd, 2023, I arrived at the same school, Turning Point Beauty College, for the second time, right, and proceeded with the medication, but it was the same outcome as the first visit, yet nobody was entering or leaving as I waited. But it's still dim, the door was locked. On December 11, 2023, I went into our database system to check on other allegations related to the complaint and noted inconsistent activity with the student hours log. No documentation was placed since December 11, 2022. I didn't in fact check the gym on January 11, 2024. Let's go out document school hours on January 7th, 2024 for the 2023 year. And then I checked on March 14th, 2024. That's why all documentation up to date. If you have any questions, I will be happy to address them.
Ben, board have any questions that I clarified?
Yeah, this is Goodman. So your visits were during posted hours for the school?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? This is a corporation and we have.
It's not an LLC. Wait, Rosa, do we have that or no?
Yeah.
We have an LLC at the station?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, please. For the record, we do have an LLC.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're right. Okay, so I don't have that in front of me. So what are we looking for in this particular case? What
the allocation?
Yes.
They say that lights violation for teach cosmetology and aesthetic nail technology or design state. The person that applies to the instructor pursuant to like through the chapter and then student records.
Okay, thank you. So who will speak for you? All right. So have you had an opportunity to review this complaint?
Yeah.
And do you have information you'd like to provide us about the complaint?
Yeah.
Please.
I was hired in November 2022 as the student instructor under Sherry Snow. And so the only thing I can verify is that all the student instructors were in my presence. I only had three at the time. And anytime they did a demo or they did any class assignments that interacted with the Cosmo students, FD students, or NEL students, I was present in the room. They never taught more than 30 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, as far as just doing their demonstrations and going through their instructor program. I only had three. I'm sorry to get the opportunity to your building, but it's not a huge building. It's kind of an open building. That's the only classroom that's completely privatized is the FD room. And at the time, we didn't have any FD students to utilize that room anyway. And then as far as the two dates that we were closed, we did have paper posted signs. I was trying to work with the company at hand to help with the provide the information, but we had had, it's an older building, it's on the deeper Canadian schools. We had some water challenges and the whole strip mall didn't have water. So we were not open to the public and we try to get our students and stuff to utilize the back entrance so that we don't take up parking because we share a parking lot with like a bunch of other businesses. So as far as people not going in and out, they might've been going in and out at the back door. A lot of times we utilize the back parking behind the back door, but we were closed for three different times within those 2 weeks. Because of water situation, we couldn't shampoo, we couldn't wash properly for mannequins. So we worked on footwork and theory work.
Good chance.
Yeah.
Does the board have questions?
So you were there during those days with the instructor?
Yeah, we just weren't open to the public because we couldn't do any services without having running water.
In the complaint, it talks about the student hours not being recorded properly. Is there information?
That I don't have an answer for because at that time, that wasn't my position. I was just the instructor. I wasn't necessarily doing administrative work, but that I don't have an answer for. We did have an instructor at that time, a director that did all of that. She left in June, and I have not been able to get a hold of her to have those opportunities. We did have some. Which I'm sure you guys have seen the world the way we've had some employment challenges with finding instructors and capable people doing that. So I do know that that could have been the issue. But we did, like I said, there was someone that hired me that was the lead instructor and she had been longer there.
Okay. Yeah, some information about the hours.
Yeah.
Identify yourself.
Yeah, my name is New Holder. I'm the owner of the company.
At that time, I did Sheriff Snow to be my complete paperwork, everything perfect for, and forgive me if you dropped the ball. So when I take it back and I miss communication with her or anything like that, so did the balance, we could take ball away, this is my responsibility.
Do you feel like the hours are correct now?
Yes, because we use a system for third-party independent for my school. It's nothing related with the school at all. First, we give the student go to field trip, just along, go to services on the section, they call field trip for that. And I have to inject that on my cell, like 4 hours, 3 hours, something like that. And maybe I'm the best luck owner. And if people let me, they drop the ball on me. So I have to cut the class and put together for that. So that's why I live and have to suffer for that.
Okay. Egan, did you get a chance to look into this record keeping?
So I looked yesterday, everything's been up to date, documentation, student hours, it's all about listen and complain.
And our reporting is current and all.
So from now on, I am the person technically responsible for that. But we could be someone else did that. So I am the person, not the micromanagement. When they give someone a job, I just let it go like that, so.
Yes.
Even though today you come to a shopping center, keep your foot happening in that school, you will see the construction over there is probably really bad. So that's not the goods, whatever, shopping center is over 50 years old. The clumping will fix it right now. We cannot open the front door for the public. And the El Super is a busy shopping center for many well area right there.
So how long have you been closed then? Or are you, because you just think if you were to come to the building itself, the whole strip mall is having issues. So if you look the front of our school, there's we went without water three different times. In our experience with the whole strip mall, she's just adding information basically to let you know that if you go, they're repiping all the building. So they're shutting down like whole section of it. So she's just adding information.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're not allowed to go in the front door of the.
No, you can't. But we could normally, like, if you're a salon or something and you shared parking with the public, it doesn't make sense for someone that has like 20 students to park in front of our school if we're trying to bring in clients. So we try to get our students to park behind the shopping center. And a lot of times in the morning, we enter through the back. So if you're not sitting in the, if you're not in the back of a shopping center, because it's a shopping center, like there's an El Super, we're next to an Ace Hardware, we're next to a Subway, Bonitas, all this stuff. And there's only so much parking in the front of the pool. So we try to, like our staff, most of the time we try to go to the back. Because if we take up all of our students and all of our staff parked up front, there is no parking for clients.
And you're saying there was posting of the, it was closed?
There was a paper posting saying that we were not doing the public services that Wednesday, another Wednesday, and then another Wednesday. We were not taking clients.
And you didn't have the light from support?
We did have the light, but I don't understand the light thing. But again, we do have dimmed. Honestly, we're in the ghetto. We have bars on our windows. On all of our windows are barred. We also have the plastic sheeting that says cosmetology school. So we have lighting. It looks dim when you pull up, but when you come in, it's much brighter in the building. But our windows are kind of shabby. They're plexiglass windows. It's not a Nordstrom storefront. If you were to walk up right now, you might not know that we're open. The doors are barred closed. There's a chance that you pull on the door and it didn't open correctly because there's so many bars on the front door. And so like I said, you can, a lot of times you go in, but you might not see us go in and out as like patrons or students because of the parking in the back. Mm-hmm.
You have marketing vinyls on the front windows.
That's not a thing. I think it covers the windows.
This really look into the as a group of vinyls that, you know, kind of like marketing the information. All right. Do we have any other questions about the possibility of an unlicensed instructor or the student hours? The two complaints, I understand.
You didn't see any unlicensed instructors. I guess you didn't get in.
I didn't get in.
Yeah.
We were recently inspected and all of our licensure was good and our new paths are inspection. Since the chief complaint, we have had inspection and we were fine. I checked on it this morning. I believe Lisa went there on September 8th of last year.
But you went more.
I went in June of 2023, couldn't get in for an application twice. And then I get Lisa went there in September. Then and that did basically. She got done.
Okay. And that was fine.